Joining us on CT on the Hill this morning is from the 13th Senatorial District, State Senator Len Susio. Senator, good morning. Welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning, Dan. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning.
Well, Senator, there you were yesterday. For people who didn't read it in the Hartford Current this morning, wait a minute. Hartford Current didn't have it. For people who didn't read it on CT Mirrored, wait a minute. CT Mirror didn't have it. Senator Susio held a news conference yesterday on the governor's failed risk reduction earned credits program, and it is failed. We had the senator on Brad and Dan last week, and he said when he announced the numbers on Monday that they would be staggering. And I'm telling you, Senator, this program is a failure. But how about relaying to our audience some of the numbers you released yesterday at this news conference?
Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this really important topic with your audience and with you, Dan. Yes, the early release program, so the risk reduction earned credit program, misnamed very badly, by the way, has been in effect since September of 2011. And in that 6 years and 4 months since we've had it, we've had plenty of experience to know whether it's a success or failure right now. And by the way, Dan, it works by, just to refresh your audience's memory, the risk reduction earned credit program offers inmates in our prisons incentives to behave in prison, and while behaving in prison, if they get these credits, they get out of jail that much earlier. It's everybody in Connecticut that's committed a crime is eligible for it, except for 8 crimes. So you could be involved with sexual assault of a 12-year-old, and you're eligible for early release credits. And the 6 years and 4 months worth of experience we have with it does reveal some shocking information. For example, the very first year that the program was in effect, from September of 2011 to August 31st of 2012, I call it the first graduating class, 8,727 inmates were discharged from Connecticut prisons having received these risk reduction credits. They're safer to go out into the community, right? 8,351 admissions for committing another crime were experienced by that group. In other words, we discharged 8,727 criminals out of our jail who supposedly reformed, and they were readmitted to prison 8,351 times for having committed another crime.
Amazing.
That's 95.69%. If that isn't testimony to the glaring failure of this program, I don't know what is. And to me, that's only one of the glaring statistics that I find shocking. The thing that I think is shocking, Dan, is the types of crimes they're committing. We're not talking about pickpockets here. We're talking about 119 murders were committed by these people after they were discharged from prison and reformed. 154 sexual assaults or rapes. If you add those two crimes together, Dan, in the 6 years and 4 months since the program was initiated, that's one rape or murder every 8.1 days after these people were discharged from prison. Then we're talking about other serious things like robbery and burglary. 1,988 crimes committed. And again, these are people who have committed to prison having been convicted of doing this after they were discharged from prison. Crimes against children, sexual crimes against children, 603. Strangulation, 263 cases. Assaults, almost 2,000 assaults. Criminal violation of a protective or restraining order, 1,201. I mean, we identified 12,705 serious crimes committed by risk reduction prisoners who were sprung loose from our prisons early because they were participating in the risk reduction program. What I've learned, Dan, is this. The only risk that is affected by this program is the risk while they're in prison. I had an interesting conversation with Senator Austin on the floor of the Senate last session, and she knows that this is a big issue for me because Ibrahim Ghazal was murdered in Meriden, Connecticut 6 years ago by Frankie Resso, who had graduated from the program. And she said, "Oh, I know you're big on this." She said, "But I can't tell you that this really helps out and protects the guards in our prison. It makes the prisoners better behaved." So she's telling me that these inmates are so dangerous that armed guards need the program to protect themselves from these prisoners,
wow.
yet they're safe enough to release into the general population. The program should be suspended immediately, and there should be a full-fledged debate in the legislature about it. And I'm working as hard as I can, Dan, to at least add to the list of crimes that will not be eligible for participation in this program.
Why do you think the media is ignoring this? Not all in the media, but some of the media.
Well, thank God, talk radio like you, and I was on several TV stations,
right.
But it doesn't fit the liberal narrative. And, Dan, I could tell you, and it's no big secret, the media have a bias towards a liberal political philosophy, and it does affect their coverage. Even the story that was printed in the Record Journal, my hometown paper about this, I thought omitted very serious information. For example, the story disclosed that there were 8,727 prisoners discharged that first year, but it didn't mention that 8,351 readmissions from that group, which is the whole message.
That's the story.
It's unbelievable to me that they omitted that, and they didn't mention one word about the violent crimes that have been committed by these people. So I do think that people's political bias affects the coverage of the news and reports, and affects their reporting of the, quote, facts as they see them.
I mean, all due respect, they're out there yesterday talking about these state representatives who want to impose a carbon tax once again on the state of Connecticut, talking about these state representatives, and then the governor, who you can't tell me didn't purposely schedule this budget announcement yesterday to upstage your news conference. I mean, they're out there covering all of this. They're over there at the Capitol. They couldn't cover your news conference? I don't buy it.
Yeah, and Dan, think about it. Is there anything more important than the safety of the community? I mean, taxes are important. Don't get me wrong. Roads and bridges are important. That's true, too. But if you have to go outside with a bulletproof vest every time you leave your home, that, to me, is the most important responsibility of government. And this program is a failure, in big-time failure, not a minor failure. And it adds to the list of many failures of the Malloy administration. He's failed the state in terms of the economic recovery. He's failed the state in terms of jobs. He's failed the state in terms of taxes. He's failed the state in terms of taking care of our roads and bridges. But more than anything else, this is his biggest failure. He's letting out violent criminals by the thousands onto our streets and our neighborhoods. And, of course, the thing that actually kicked off the story was that thing that you and I discussed, that incident in Hamden a few weeks ago, where a cop got into a gun battle with one of these early release inmates who was in the process, apparently, of armed robbery of a convenience store. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that the cop wasn't murdered, and the store clerk, it reminded me of the original murder of Ibrahim Ghazal here in Meriden, who was murdered as he was working in his store, his little convenience store, and Frankie Resto came in and robbed him and then shot him at point blank range. It woke bad memories for me.
Senator, let me share this with our audience so that people understand those who are currently eligible for the risk reduction earned credits. Your bill would make those convicted of the following crimes ineligible: first degree sex assault of forcible rape, sex with a victim under age 13 or a mentally incapacitated person, or gang rape, first degree assault using a deadly weapon with intent to cause serious injury, disfiguration or amputation, or risks death to another through extreme indifference to human life, first degree assault of elderly, blind or disabled, and first degree assault of a pregnant woman resulting in the loss of a baby. And currently, all of these convicted people are eligible who have committed these crimes, and you would make them ineligible. Talk about that.
Yes. Again, my wish would be that I could make every violent crime, every serious crime, ineligible for early release. But that's not politically feasible, not only because of the governor, but because of the political makeup of the legislature right now. So we picked out the most heinous crimes that are still eligible, the ones that you just read off, Dan, and we said, let's at least keep moving in the right direction. Let's add these crimes to the list of crimes not eligible. And last year, the Judiciary Committee did approve of adding those crimes to the list of crimes ineligible, and it was voted out of the Judiciary Committee with an overwhelmingly positive vote. And then it was voted on in the Senate with another positive vote, but it was never taken up in the House. So I do want to, first of all, I do want to express my gratitude to the leaders of the Judiciary Committee, their willingness to at least add these additional crimes. And then again, my colleagues in the Senate voted to approve adding them. But we've got to put pressure, assuming we get out of Judiciary again this year and through the Senate, we've got to put pressure on the Speaker of the House to make certain that this gets raised in the, and for a vote in the House itself. He it was not allowed for a vote last year in the House, and that's why it didn't become law.
Do you think that you'll be able to gather interest in a short session of the legislature? I mean, they're going to say, well, it has to deal with budgetary matters. How do you raise interest in the legislature in this session?
Well, I think part of the reason for this program is it does affect the budget. They're closing the program, prisons left and right. The governor is out there claiming that crime is down, and he's bragging about the prison population being down. He's not bragging about the murders that have been committed by these people or the rapes that have been committed by them because they were out of prison when they shouldn't have been. So, I spoke personally to the two Senate co-chairs of the committee, of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Doyle and Senator Kissel, and they both indicated that they would support it again. I do intend to make personal phone calls to Representative Tong, who's the House co-chair, and then Representative Rabimbus, who's the ranking member. So again, they did support it last year. It did get through, and I hope and believe that there's nothing more important. Money is secondary to safety, Dan, and again, as I said, If you've got lower taxes, but you got to pull a bulletproof vest on yourself when you go out the door, then forget it. It's not worth it. So this, to me, is number one priority, and it is definitely the number one responsibility of the legislature to protect our men, our women, our children, our families who will be victims of these violent inmates.
Senator, any idea on, and I know people would want me to ask this question, even though it comes out of the world of being politically incorrect, any idea on how many illegal aliens were involved in these statistics?
Actually, when you and I and Brad discussed this last week, that was one of your questions, and I put the question forward to the Department of Correction. I have not received a response yet, but literally within, I'd say, 30 minutes after I was off your show, I sent an email to them, and that was last Friday. So I'm certain that they're kind of figuring out how are they going to answer to that. And what I will do, Dan, is as soon as I get an answer from them, I will email it to you, and you and I can talk about what that answer is in another show sometime, and I will definitely I will send them another follow-up email today to see where they stand on researching that information.
How much success do you have in getting information from the Department of Corrections?
Now that I've established a relationship with them, by the way, Dan, under the Freedom of Information Act is when I started getting this database from them. That's what's happened. They really are supposed to be releasing this data to the public themselves, but they haven't complied with the law. And so when they didn't do that, I asked them why. And they said, well, they didn't have the programming. They came up with these excuses that they couldn't do it. So I said, all right, well, I can do it if you download the data or upload the data to me. And because I have my company, I'm involved in my real life in advising banks all over the country how to better meet the credit needs of their communities. So I have databases in my computers that are tens of millions of records. And we know how to manipulate the data and work it so you can analyze it. So I said, send me the files. And they did. And at first it was difficult because the files are structured in a way that's awkward, and you got to get familiar with what they call a file structure, and you've got to get familiar with the terminology they use. So it took us about 6 months to kind of figure out the whole kit and caboodle and how it works, and then we wrote our programs, and I'm able to work with it, and they do. We have a standing understanding now that every 6 months they are providing me with the updated files that I need to look at the latest information on all the prisoners that have been discharged, but particularly the ones that have been discharged with early release credits.
Okay, well, we will continue to follow this story. Senator, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning to educate our audience. We will talk down the road, and good luck tomorrow at the start of the new session.
Thank you very much, Dan, and thank you for keeping your audience as some of the best informed people in Connecticut about important issues like this. That's an invaluable service you provide the public, and I thank you for that.
Our pleasure. Take care.
Take care, Dan.